Ephesians chapter 3. Thank God we're new creations in Christ, and old things have passed away and all things have become new. Hallelujah. Thank you that we're not anxious for nothing. Amen. Thank you that we call those things that are not as though they are, according to the will of the Lord. Thank you that all things work to the good to those who are called and who love the Lord and called for His purpose. Amen. Now that doesn't give us an excuse to go out and blow it. Amen. But all things do work to the good according to His will, not according to our will. Amen. Things according to our will not work out good. Things according to Him. In fact, He removes the things according to our will and He puts in the things according to His will. Amen. All to God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read 1 through 7 with me? Glory. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now the dispensation of grace, and I just want to share a couple of things before we really get going, is known as the age of grace. Amen? It is the age of grace. And the age of grace is a representation of God has specific things for grace. Grace means, number one, it's the favor of the Lord in your life. Number two, grace is a representation of co-laboring with God. The third one is God holding back His judgment. And the fourth one is the will of God in your life. And I'm going to repeat these. The word grace here, the age of grace, is a representation of the favor of God. Okay? It's the favor of God. The second one means a co-labor with God. The third part of grace is He's holding back His judgment. So we are in the age of grace. And the fourth part is His perfect will as a representation of His grace in our life. Is everybody with me?
Hallelujah.
In verse 2 again it says, If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. How that by revelation He made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, I'm partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. Hello. His power, not our power. So we see that you and I are in a dispensation of grace right now. Amen? It's the age of grace. God is holding back judgment. He's allowing mankind to co-labor with Him. It's the favor of God in your life, and it is the perfect will of God in your life. That's when you're walking in grace. Is everybody with me? Okay, hallelujah. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So if He gave them the right to become children of God, He gave them the right to grace. Is everybody with me? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Now, wait a minute. So, when Jesus, when the Word became flesh, it manifested, everyone was able to see tangible grace. They saw the grace of God. They saw the favor of God. They saw God holding back judgment. They saw a co-labor with God. And they saw the will of God. Is everybody with me? Why? Because it was the fullness of grace, because it was the beginning of the dispensation or the age of grace. Is everybody with me? Now listen, what they actually saw is, and we've shared this before, mercy represents God considering a plan to rescue his people. That was known as mercy. When we say, Lord, mercy, we're asking for a plan, aren't we? Yes. Amen? Yes. Lord, have mercy upon me. Give me a plan to get out of this. Yes. Grace is the plan in action. See, God's people cried out, didn't they? He was already planning. He already had a plan of redemption, didn't he? But it didn't come into effect until grace had to manifest. So when Jesus was manifested, the plan was put into action. Instantly, as soon as he came out of his mother's womb, grace just hit the whole world. They held grace. They fed grace. They raised grace. Is everybody with me? And grace grew up and found favor of God and man. And he grew in wisdom. See, Jesus was actually the manifestation, tangible presence of God and grace. We got to see the will of God. We got to see him co-labor. We got to see favor in his life. And we got to see him with forgiveness. Because what? He held back judgment. Remember, he said he didn't come to judge the world, did he? He came to what? Save it. Amen? Why? Because he was holding back God's judgment. He was going to become the sacrifice to hold back judgment. If the sacrifice did not get completed, judgment would have hit this world. Amen? So he came. That's why the powers of darkness came against him. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand grace. Even mankind didn't understand grace. They didn't understand that Jesus was persecuted, spit on it, and he still forgave. What was his last words on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, before he yield up his spirit. Forgive them. Why? Because grace, forgiveness, was put into action. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we see the fullness of grace and truth. Again, mercy was that God considered a plan of redemption. Grace is that he put the plan in action, which was known as the plan of redemption. Is everybody with me? So you and I are walking in grace. It says, by grace we are saved. Why? Because of the favor of God and holding back his judgment. But let me tell you, you can still fall from grace. People take grace is an advantage to their advantage. They go do what they want to do and they say, oh, the Lord will forgive me. Hello? Is that trampling grace? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So there are, right now, there are those who are falling from grace because the Bible tells us about it. Amen? Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. So today's title is Falling from Grace. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 3. Now mercy is what? God's consideration for a plan. And grace is what? The plan in action. Amen. Glory. Man, we don't want to fall from grace, do we?
No.
That's that. You know what? You know when you're falling from grace. You know it. You sense it. You can feel it. You know that the presence of God has been moved. You know that there's not that favor. You know that there's not that co-labor. And you know that the favor of God is not manifesting. Hello? So if you've fallen short of any one of these, you know, you've fallen short of grace. Amen? Proverbs 3 and verses 1 through 12. Let's read it together. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Say that again. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Now, what's mercy? God's considering. Amen. Considering the plan. Don't let mercy forsake you. In other words, you know that God has always got a way of escape for you. Amen. You just have to get in so that the plan can be in action. Then you're walking in grace, aren't you? Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so what? Find favor. What's favor? Grace. Hello? And so find what? Favor or grace in high esteem. Where? In the sight of God and man. So you'll have favor with God and you'll have favor with man. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Now He's shown us how to begin to walk in grace or not fall from grace. He says what? The first thing, trust in the Lord. That's the first thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. That's the second thing. So you've got to trust Him and not lean on your own understanding. Not lean on your carnal senses. Not lean on your talents. Not lean on all the things. Not lean on your blessings. Hello? Don't lean on your blessing. Oh, hallelujah. He said, now, so the first thing, we got to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. The second thing, we can't lean on our own understanding. The third thing we need to do is acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He'll direct your path. In other words, acknowledge Him, give Him your works. Amen? Give Him your ways, give Him everything. Oh, hallelujah. Give Him your desires. Get Him your shortcomings. Get Him your high expectations. Give Him your guilt. Give Him your condemnation. Give Him your family. Give Him everything. Acknowledge Him. And verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Say that again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now listen, here's another thing. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? Because it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What's he saying? Depart, reverence God and depart from evil. Reverence Him and depart from evil. The Bible says depart from every unruly brother. Amen? Amen. Depart from evil. Depart. You go in a place, you know things aren't right, depart. That's all. It's to it. Depart. Amen? Roll it to God. Don't get sucked up in the ring. Somebody tries to pick a fight with you, an argument with you, depart. Turn. Amen? Don't try to prove you're right because there's only one right. Don't get caught up in theological arguments. It's not worth it. You can't counsel a demon anyways. Hello? Why waste your time and your breath? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 9, what does it say? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. In other words, honor God every time you get an increase. Honor Him. Why? Because you didn't get the increase. He gave it to you. You know what He does? He says, show me you're appreciable. He says, show me. Amen? I mean, many times, In other words, when I got my first paycheck, I thanked the Lord and I gave it to him. Thank you. It's yours. I'm honoring you with my first increase. I'm honoring you with everything, my first fruits. Everything goes to him first. Why? Because if you hold back, then you're relying on your own strength again. What does he say? Don't lean on your own understanding. But I got a lot of bills to pay. Well, you don't pay the bills anyways. He does. So as you allow him to pay the bills, you're honoring him. Let me tell you something. You can put a lot of money in a bank and you'll never get the interest you can by putting it in the kingdom.
Amen.
You can buy all the stocks and bonds you want, brothers and sisters, but you'll never get compared to what you'll get from the kingdom. You know, the economy may collapse, but your economy won't when you're giving to the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. Read it with me. Now listen, these are all ways that you're going to find favor with God. The first thing he says, what? Trust. Wait a minute. Trust in the Lord. The second thing is don't lean on your own understanding. The third thing is acknowledge him. In other words, give him your works. Give him your ways and your desires. The fourth thing is to reverence him by departing from evil. Right? The fifth thing is to honor him with your increase. Is everybody with me? Now look at this is what he says. So your barns will be what? Filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Is that favor?
Amen.
Amen. Go to 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So let me share with you the sixth thing. Receive his counsel, correction, and spanking. With joy and obedience. That's six things we just talked about. Why? Because six means man. Number six represents what? Man. Six things that we just talked about in getting and walking in the grace of God. Hello? This is where you can't, you don't, listen. You don't rely on your own understanding. Man, I just don't understand it. Praise God. Can you trust? You know, so many people can't trust unless they have understanding. Then it's not trust. If you got to understand everything and can't trust, that's not trust. And you're not walking in God's grace. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the Lord's trying to bring us to this another level. There's a move of the Spirit of God, and we need to catch it and get in it.
Amen.
You're going to wait on the side. You're going to miss it.
Amen.
God has given us, I don't like to use this word steps, but it's like stepping up a ladder to get, you got to step up a ladder to get in a plane, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, the stairs. You know, you want to get higher? You got to go by what he gives. He always guides us to another plane. Amen. He's always bringing us to another level. And he always gives us guidance. Why? The Bible says the Spirit what? Guides us to all truth, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen. And he's trying to bring us to another place. Well, we don't rely on what we see and get rid of these senses and emotions and feelings. It doesn't mean that you won't have them. Amen? Well, what are you going to be led by? How you feel? My goodness, can you imagine if everyone in this room was led by how they felt? Nobody would be here. Oh, dear God, help us. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You don't think the devil is telling you, man, you know, I need to go there, but I really don't. I'd rather sit home and watch pop TV and eat popcorn. Or whatever. First Timothy chapter 4. But I'll go for you, God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. And let me share something. You're going to hear the Scripture over, over, and over. They depart from the faith. Now let me explain something. Faith correlates with grace. Because if you're not walking in faith, you don't have grace. Hello? If you're not walking in faith, grace cannot manifest in your life. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because faith represents trust. Amen? Amen? Faith represents not leaning on your own carnal senses. You're walking by faith, not by sight. So it says that many are going to fall from the faith. So they're going to fall from grace too, aren't they? They're going to fall from the will of God. They're going to fall from the favor of God. They're going to fall. Now listen, then the final end is falling from grace is going to fall into judgment. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he's not talking to unbelievers, is he? He's talking about believers who know the truth but are taking heed to deceiving, familiar, seducing spirits who begin to fall from the faith and begin to fall from grace. Amen? All praise be to God. Go to Hebrews 10. Falling from grace. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. 23 to 31. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Would you read it with me? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So we don't want to, we want to hold fast to our confession of our hope, which is in him, isn't it? And verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, here's another thing. Listen, do not forsake assembling. Do you notice that when we come together, there's a special anointing? There's a special anointing. There's that corporate anointing when we come together. When we come together and worship, there's just something. That even when you're not worshiping, you just come in sometimes and you just think, feel things lift from you. It's like, wow. You know, because of the corporate anointing, it says, do not forsake assembling. See, the devil wants to take that one sheep out and try to be a Zorro, you know. But you can't be. Nobody makes it by themselves. Nobody. Nobody. People will go out and get separated. It's the devil that brings them out. Why? Because they begin to fall from grace because they're no longer relying on faith. They begin to rely on their own strength. Is everybody with me? Amen. They become dry, deceived, and the devil's eating them up until they finally get back into the flock and they realize, whew, man, I didn't even know I was missing what I was missing. I didn't even know it. Why? Because the devil already... Let me share with you, the first thing that captivity comes in is deception. That's the first arena the devil brings. Captivity is in deception. Once he can bring you in the captivity of deception, he can bring you in the captivity of your life. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 26. Would you read it with me? For if we sin willfully, say it again. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Yow. In other words, if you willfully sin, you willfully do not do the will of God. Remember, sin means associating with the presence of darkness. You're taking heed of what they're saying, deceiving spirits. So if you willfully sin, right, there is no sacrifice until you what? Repent. Hello? So what it's saying is you fall out of grace then, don't you? If you willfully sin, this is where that is so deceiving about once saved, always saved. Well, I just repent every Monday, but I party every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, you have fallen from grace. And the word even says that God may grant you repentance. Amen? That God may grant you repentance. Remember, some cried out for repentance and God did not forgive. Amen? And he didn't forgive. But God may grant. So he's talking about, listen, if you willfully sin, if you willfully associate with the powers of darkness and refuse to do the will of God, that's called falling from grace. Watch. There's no sacrifice. Verse 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy. Without what? A consideration of what? A plan. Has everybody got it? On the testimony of two or three witnesses, there is no plan. There is no repentance. There's no redemption. That's how it used to be in the Old Testament. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in verse 29, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Yow! And insulted the Spirit of grace. You know why? Because the Spirit of grace is a person. Grace is a person. Hello? Grace is a person. For we know him who said, now he's telling them, talking about him, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Amen. They have fallen from grace. Don't forsake the assembly, which will help you from falling from grace. The Spirit of grace is a person. He's known as the Holy Spirit. He's known as the Comforter, the Teacher, the one who guides you into all truth. That's why it talks about the unforgivable sin as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is representation. He is the grace, isn't he? He's the Spirit of grace. Remember, the Spirit became incarnate, put flesh on, known as the Word. He was known as the Spirit of grace. So when people reject grace, they reject the plan of God for them in redemption, don't they? Where do they go? Hell. So if somebody dies, right? If somebody dies, is everybody getting this?
Yes.
If somebody dies without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or serving the devil, they have fallen from grace. They have trampled and rejected grace and they will go to hell. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you can't candy coat this stuff. That's why I tell everybody who you serve when you die is where you go.
Amen.
Far be it that somebody should backslide and do dope and overdose. They go to hell.
Amen.
Amen? People will fornicate, think, oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, the Bible talks about somebody fornicating and dying in his bed. And the Bible talks about that person going to hell. Ooh. Why? Because they have trampled and forsaken grace. Grace is the plan of redemption. If you're not willing to do the will of God, you're not willing to walk in redemption. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 7. Glorious. Glorious. Hallelujah. Falling from grace. Oof. Man, we don't want to fall from grace. John 7 and verse 14. John 7 and verse 14. Read it with me, please. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. This is powerful. If anyone wills to do his will, right, which is grace, right, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak in my own authority. And you know what? That's what we must know. We must know if we want to walk in the correct way of grace, we must know whether we are hearing or we are doing the will of God or we're doing the will of man. We must know whether we're doing our own desires or the desires of the Lord. Is everybody with? We must know that it's our accountability. Now listen to this, verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, which is grace, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak in my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his what? Own glory. Whew. He seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Anyone wills to walk out the Lord's plan must discern whether it is our plan or the plan of the Holy Spirit, which promotes His will. There will be righteousness. God's will is righteousness. It always has to do with righteousness. Man's will always has to do with unrighteousness. Amen? Is deception unrighteousness? Yes. Is manipulation unrighteousness? Is exaggeration unrighteousness? Do you understand that those are just little lines or dots which with the big headline of lie. Lie. Do you manipulate to get what you want? Well, hello? Then that's lying. And that's not walking in the will of God, and it's falling from the grace of God. Is everybody with me? I'm going to give an example. Go to Judges 13. Oh, hallelujah. Judges 13. See, the devil's not stupid. He's the most cunning beast God created. He knows exactly how to snare us to fall from grace. You know, ignorance is no excuse, is it? Ignorance is no excuse. The Word tells us that all men now are able to know. And there is no excuse. Remember when they brought the woman up to her, the Lord who was caught in fornication, right? And he told everyone, okay, any of you who have blown it, who haven't blown it, go ahead and throw the first stone. And nobody could throw the first stone. And he said to her, she says, well, what about you, Lord? And he said, I forgive you. He said, but go, sin no more. Amen? Sin no more. In fact, he told many, sin no more before a worse thing come upon you. Sin no more. Amen? In other words, what is sin? Associated with the presence of darkness. In Judges 13, in verse 1 through 5. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for what? 40 years. Let me share something. Disobedience will always bring you into captivity. The first captivity you go into is deception. Has everybody got that? You can't see. You can't see. That's why God places the body of Christ, so that there's counsel, so that there's gathering, so that there's brothers and sisters. Somebody's going to see for you because you can't. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. So Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. He sent them into captivity. And there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Moniah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And an angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall receive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to what? Drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a what? Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Lord was sending someone known as a Nazarite. Now, anybody else know who a Nazarite was? Besides Jesus? John the Baptist. Hello? Said, drink no wine or similar drink. Why? He came in purification. He came sanctified, not to touch anything unclean. Why? Because the anointing of God had to maintain. It had to even come from the mother. The mother had to be pure. Why? Because she was the one giving the birth. Amen? So the mother had to be pure so that anointing could be transferred on to the child. So he told the mother, don't drink. Neither will this child. Hello? No razor shall come to his head. He's a Nazarite. Go to chapter 15. Who's he talking about? Samson. And starting at, let's see here. Starting at verse 9. Now Israel was in captivity with the Philistines, and the Lord brought forth Samson to rescue his people. And in verse 9, now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" So they answered, "We have come to arrest Samson to do to him as he has done to us." Why? Samson was killing the Philistines. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cliff of the rock of Etmah, and said to Samson, "Do you know that the Philistines rule over us?" In other words, these were the Israelites. They're like, "Man, do you know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" In other words, they were afraid because of what Samson had done to the Philistines. Now they were going to be punished for it. And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." In other words, don't kill me yourself. So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came from Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that it is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And he found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey I have slain 1,000 men." And it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" Here he was, he just got done killing all of these dudes, and he was thirsty. Talk about the grace of God on somebody, man. Look at the anointing that was on Samson. So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. So the Lord, what did he do? He split the rocks. He split the ground. Water came gushing out, and his servant was able to drink. Talk about favor, right? And his spirit returned, and he was revived. Therefore, he called its name En-Hach-Kara, which is Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So Samson judged Israel 20 years. But something began to happen, didn't it? Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. Hello. When the Gazites were told Samson has come, they surrounded the place and lay wait for him all night at that gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. Go to verse 4. No sounds like... Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, everybody knows about Delilah, right? And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. All the cash always moves people out of position. You know, you got to be so careful, you know. And we all know the story of Samson. So we know that the grace and favor of God was upon Samson, wasn't he? Amen. And then also we realize that as the anointing was on Samson, he was still, even though that he was fooling with this harlot, he was still walking in the power and the anointing of the Lord, wasn't he? Please turn the tape over. Praise God. So we see now, let's go back. God called Samson, the favor of the Lord, grace was abounding him, all over him. I mean, you know, he was just full of grace, wasn't he? He had favor, co-labor, right? He got anything he asked for. God's judgment hadn't fallen on him, and even all the goofy things he did. You know, but it got to the point where he began to disregard and disrespect. Even though the anointing was still on him, he began to do his own will. Amen? See, he thought he was getting away with it because favor was still there. Favor was still there. So God began to bless him. No, he began to bless him. Does everybody understand that? So the favor was still there and hadn't worn off yet. God's judgment hadn't come yet. Amen? But it's coming. So he hooked up with Delilah, right? And Delilah tried to trick him so many times to find out what the truth was. And Samson still just played with her and still killed the Philistines and whatever. Finally, he released and spoke and gave a truth. A truth. He gave something away to something that was not clean. He defiled himself. Yes, he defiled himself when he went to bed with Delilah. But there was something even greater that defiled him. He gave something away that would destroy the anointing from God. Does everybody understand that? That's what really defiled him, is when he expounded and gave truth to Delilah, knowing it would be trampled. Hello? Why? Because of the lusts and the desires and the passions of the world. Isn't that what the devil tries to do to you? Doesn't he try to drain you? I mean, he tries to convince you to do this and do that. He tries to convince us to get sucked up in the serving of money instead of money serving you. He tries to get us sucked up in the individuals that don't want anything of God. Amen. He tries to suck us up and to send us to places where we've got to fight. He tries to snare us, doesn't he, all the time. That's his job. Tries to drain us. Tries to make the world look more enticing than the presence of God or to do the will of God. But that's his job. Finally, at the end, after that truth was given, Samson, the anointing lifted. Poof. And he was taken captive. Why? Because when you trample grace, you always go captive. Always. That's why people go back to jail and so forth. Why? Because they trample grace. Amen. They go into captivity. The first captivity is deception. See, Samson's first captivity was deception the whole time. He was deceived, wasn't he? And he just kept building up. Thought he was doing the things of God because God's judgment was not on him yet, but the power and the presence of God was on him. He knew the word. He knew this. He knew that. Oh, yes, he was doing fine. He thought, man, I can get away with it. Hey, man, me and God are tight. The Lord said to him, you thought, I thought like you thought. But I don't. And until you get back into place, I'm going to tear you in pieces. Unless you get back in place. Well, what happened? Samson was taken. They poked his eyes out. Why? That was fulfilling his deception. Amen? And he ended up becoming a slave to unrighteousness. In fact, he died as a slave of unrighteousness. Now, you may think, well, didn't he destroy a lot of the Philistines that were in that temple? Listen, there was many more. That wasn't enough. He did not fulfill the will of God. He tried to justify what he had done by killing himself and the Philistines that he could, but it could not justify it. He could never get right with God. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Let me share something with you while we're going there. Grace enforces healing. Does everybody understand that? Grace enforces healing. Grace enforces salvation. Grace enforces the offices of the body of Christ. Grace enforces the gifts of the Spirit. Grace. It's all by grace, isn't it? It's all by grace. Not that anyone has earned it. No one's earned salvation, have they? It's all by grace. But you can give it up too, can't you? Matthew chapter 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 21. Would you read it with me? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Hello. Now, what is the will of the Father in heaven? It's called grace. Amen? So if you're not doing the will of the Father in heaven, you're not walking by grace. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Grace is not being fulfilled in you. That's why he says, look to him, in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Have we not done this from you? Have we not done that from you? He's saying, listen, man, you didn't do my will. You have fallen from grace. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Lawlessness is the opposite of God's will. If you're not doing God's will, you're doing lawlessness. You're practicing lawlessness. Remember, man's will is unrighteousness. God's will is righteousness. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Galatians 5. Grace enforces healing, gifts of the Spirit, salvation, and the offices of the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 5. Do I need to repeat those? Grace enforces healing, gifts of the Spirit, salvation, and the offices of the body of Christ. Praise God. First six verses, please read it with me. Galatians chapter 5, 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify against every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, and you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Wow. In other words, I haven't used. Well, you know, I haven't fornicated. Well, you know, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm just not doing the will of God. You have fallen from grace. Has everybody got it? Why? There's the justification of someone's strength. Well, I haven't done this. I'm not doing those things. They have nothing to do with it. If you're not doing the will of God, you've fallen from grace. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by what?
Faith.
Doesn't that not coordinate with grace? Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
So you walk by faith, don't you?
Yeah.
And grace abounds. Oh, hallelujah. Fallen from grace, justification of the law of your own willpower. Listen. Fallen from grace is justification under the law of your own willpower. You do not have willpower. It's His power. Does everybody understand that? It's not your or my willpower. We don't have willpower. But we have the power and the anointing of Christ within us to do His will, not our own will. Amen? But we can choose to do our will. You know, people can, you know, they call it willpower. In other words, somebody can manage. You can have your own willpower, right? Your own willpower can say, oh man, I don't want to do that. Oh, but struggle. That's not the anointing. Because the anointing severs you and frees you. Amen? Man's willpower is called management. It's called management, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit power brings the will of God. But man's willpower manages. There's a difference, and we want to be free. In other words, if people are still struggling and going back to the old stuff or struggling with things, you know, the only reason why there's a struggle is because there's something within that's struggling. Hello? Because your fight's not flesh and blood. People who get offended, the only reason why somebody gets offended is because a spirit just got triggered. Man, how can that person say, why am I? That's because of something in you. Something just got touched. It's like that wound that just salt got put on it. Wow! What a vengeance! Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Falling from grace is justification under the law of your own willpower. Hallelujah. Does everybody hear that? Do you need to write that down? Falling from grace is justification under the law of your own willpower. We have a quiz tonight. Don't worry about it. What? Somebody thinks just got triggered. Okay. What do you mean? I didn't even take any notes tonight. Oh, man. Shame on you. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. In verses 3 through 5, Will you read it with me, please? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. What's it talking about? Listen, in these last days, people are going to be looking for teachers that are going to fulfill what they want, their own desire. They're going to be looking for preachers, pastors, and whatever, that are going to promote same-sex marriage. They're going to promote what they're being exposed of. Amen? Whatever it is. Let's go to a church that says you're saved all your life so we can do what we want to do. Hey, if this preacher preaches that, let's go there, you know, so we can fornicate. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've talked with someone on the phone that called saying, look, I need a little help here. I was told to call you. Well, they were regretted that they called. Well, yeah, I'm having some problems. Well, good. Get out on the fornication. Well, lay the dope down. Well, you're going to die and go to hell. No. I'm saved. I can go do anything I want. No, you're in captivity. The first thing that brought you in captivity is deception. Amen? Amen? I can't tell you how many people I've talked to on the phone where they actually believe that they have grace. They tip two drinks. Let's go drug. Let's go fornicate. Let's go gamble. Let's go, let's just go do it. Do as you feel like. Don't work that way. That's not grace. That's stupidity. That's plumb deception. That's plumb nuts. That's no relationship at all, is it? Can you imagine that? My heart hurts for many of them that are waking up in hell. But Lord, I was told. Well, you didn't seek it out yourself. But Lord, I, for years I've been told this, Lord, that I can just go do what I want to do. You paid the price for me. He says, yes, I did. But you're not walking in the price I paid for you. You're walking in your own price. Ooh. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, did we finish this? Okay, let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Falling from grace. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 and verses 1 through 5. All foolish Galatians, all foolish believers, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or any of your works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? You know how many people begin in the Spirit and end up in the flesh? You know what? That's the three chambers. They begin in the Holy of Holies, end up in the outer court, and end up out of the court. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or the flesh or by the hearing of faith? That's grace. Amen? Beginning in the Spirit, now they go astray. James 4. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7, would you read it with me? James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. How many of y'all want more grace? Yeah. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the who?
Humble.
Humble. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Glory to God. Go to 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Pete chapter 3. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
Are you getting this?
Yes. Yeah.
In verse 17 and 18, 2 Peter chapter 3. Read it with me. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now, so we're supposed to grow in grace, aren't we? We're supposed to grow in this co-labor. We're supposed to grow in this fellowship, in the favor of God. We're supposed to be growing. I want to close in Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. You know what? You could probably sit back and think of how many people that you know right now who have fallen from grace. That are claiming to be believers. You know what? And they don't even know it. They don't get it. That's right, sister. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Read it with me. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we must work out our own grace. Does everybody understand that? Amen? Has everybody got it? You all right? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for the revelation. Lord, let this seed be imparted to each and every one, Lord. Protect it by the blood. And let us walk, Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we may walk in the fullness of grace, pleasing you in everything that we do, bringing glory to your name and expanding your kingdom. Keeping our conduct upright, that others may eat from the tree of your righteousness that flows and grows in us. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.